We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 16, and we'll start with verse 21 then. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, and this right here is speaking of where Jesus is talking about his death and what's about to happen. But it says right here, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what a man forfeited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, which with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Our Father, we want to thank you for the reading of thy word. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the service we had so far. We thank you for the songs that were sung. And Lord, I just want to ask, Father, now that you just touch me, Father. And Father, that you may preach through me and preach to my own heart and to the people, Father, that we can understand or get a little nugget from the Word of God this morning that could strengthen us and help us on this journey that we're on, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We see right here where Peter, where he said, well, he will just rebuke the Lord. He just said, the Lord says, no, this is not going to happen. You're not going to the cross. Because Peter's already told him that several times before. Says, you're not going to the cross. You don't deserve to go to the cross. It's basically what Peter's saying. But he says, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, you would think about, and just stopping right there, that the Lord Jesus Christ is calling Peter Satan. But it's not that. He's not calling Peter Satan. What he's saying is that what Peter is saying is not true. It's of the devil. And it's just like today. We as individuals, we have the devil that will attack us, The devil will put things in our mind that will even doubt someone's own salvation, that we had taken and led them to the Lord, and we know that they got saved because we was there, because they called upon the name of Jesus. We know that. And they come to the house of God, they was faithful to God. They was faithful. They'd go out and visit, they'd witness for the Lord, and yes, they become a member of the local church, and yes, and they supported the church, and they supported the missionaries, and they just went about doing all the things like that. But you know, Satan can use all of that to get his way. And he does it in a way that would discourage us, especially in our giving. Because he'll come back and he say, well, you know, you can't give what you've been giving this week. You know, we had a car to break down, and you know, your car's not running all that well, and you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how much it's going to be. But the thing about it is, if I don't give, it's going to end up being a whole lot worse. It's going to be a whole lot worse than it's going to be. Because why? Because I am not trusting in the Lord. I need to trust in the Lord. And that's the only truth that we have. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ today. And you know, there's not many people today that we can really call our friends. And we know that they're our friends, and they'll stick with us closer than a brother that knows all about us. But yet, it's still there. We're in time of need. Yes, we need the brothers and sisters in Christ. We need each other today. Why? That's where we can get our strength from, our Christian strength from. But we get our spiritual strength from the Lord. But we must realize too that the only thing that we have today that we can look to, that we can see, take our physical eyes and look to, is the other brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm not talking about going out here and you have to have a baseball hat on, and you have to have a t-shirt on or a pullover shirt or whatever on, and saying, I love Jesus and all of that. You don't have to have that. We don't need that. We should automatically show that we love Jesus within our talk, within our walk. And what we're doing must show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know Peter, I think Peter is a kind of like, you can look to Peter like as towards man today. Because if we don't watch it, we can get in the same rut that Peter got into. Yes, we can. We can get it. We can get around individuals that, yes, at one time we used to be friends with, and we still are friends with them. But we're not as close as we was at one time. Why? Because they are serving someone else. They're serving someone else besides what we're serving. But he turned and said unto Peter, this was the Lord Jesus Christ. That he just stopped for a moment. Because Peter was thinking about the hard times. Peter was thinking about things that
he had no control over. You know, we worry about things that we have no control over. We have no control over certain things. But we must leave it unto the Lord and let him take care of that. And we need to do God's work and let God do his work. And God will do his work through us. He will be there when we need him. And I'll go further than that. God is there, whether we need him at that very moment or not. But God is there. And he will continue to be there for us. But says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, verse 24, and take up his cross and follow me. We're supposed to deny ourselves. We're supposed to deny anything and everything that we want. And we must pick up that cross that where he hung on right at 2,000 years ago for me and you. We must take up that cross and we must bear that cross. Yes, that cross can get kind of heavy. The burden is there. But yet sometimes when we take it up, and when we take up the burden, and when we take up that load, we'll put more of a load on us than what we can handle. We don't need to put no more of a load on us than what we can handle. Because the Lord says, I'm with you. I'm with you today. I'm with you tomorrow. I'm with you tonight at midnight. I'm with you tonight when you're sound asleep. I'm with you. But if any man will come after me, we need to seek out the Lord. He's telling Peter, he says, Peter, if any man will come after me, if any man will just come and hear from me, then he will deny himself. The only way we will ever get to the point in our Christian walk, in our Christian life for the Lord, is that we got to realize who he is. We have to realize that he is God. And he is a supreme being. We cannot do nothing without him. Until we get to that point in our life, we can't do nothing. But it says, deny himself. We have to deny ourselves before we can ever get close to the Lord. But when we get close to the Lord, we know that he's taking care of all the things that we had. He's taking care of all the burdens that we're carrying. You know, I'm not second guessing God. I'm not blaming God. But as far as me in the flesh, the man that I am as a Christian, I don't understand why that God has not done something here at Faith Baptist Church. We don't understand it, do we? We don't understand it. We don't know why. The only thing that I've come up with me, myself, is that, hey, it helps me to keep the faith.
It helps me for my faith to continue to grow in Him. And I don't understand why when we go and visit people that used to be in God's house, used to be in church, used to be serving God, but yet they don't want to have nothing to do with Him no more. I don't understand that. I don't think God saves you one way and saves me another way. I don't think God puts a desire in your heart, one desire to put in your heart, that He don't put the same desire in my heart. Because how many of you got a King James Bible? All of you, right? So it's no difference there. We individuals today, they're getting their minds so mixed up today because of the different translations I hear. And whom they're serving. Whole lot of them are serving the man, the preacher. Don't you put me up on a pedestal. I don't need to be put up on a pedestal. If anything, I need to be lower than you. If anything at all, I need to be so low that where I have to look up to see you. Why? Because of who God is. Because of who God is. Verse 25, well, the latter part of verse 25, when he denied himself, then he took up a cross. Peter finally denied himself when he did. He started walking closer to the Lord. He was carrying that cross. And Peter carried the cross a whole lot of times. Bye-bye. But in the cross that he carried was the cross of doubt that he had so many times before. The cross that we carry today, is it the cross of doubt? Is it the cross of determination? Is it the cross of whatever? But if we're going to carry a cross, we need to carry the cross in a way that will determine keep eyes on Jesus. And we are determined that we're going to go His way. Because, you know, my prayer is that I can always have somebody around me, physically speaking, that can always speak to me as something about the King James Bible. Because if not, I'm that close of going over to the other side. We all are And we may say, no, we won't either. We shouldn't say that. If we say it, we should say it only by the grace of God that I won't go over, that I won't cross over to their way of thinking. Verse 25 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, in reading that verse, you would think us, you know, you get a little contradiction there. But it's not all that contradiction at all. It's nothing contradiction about it or confusion about it. It says, for whosoever. Who's the whosoever? That is the lost. That's the ones that's dying. That's the ones that's going up down the highway and won't even come into the church. Why? Because the church has got so down to the point that I can't go in there. I don't have a dress on. And the husband said, well, we can't go in there. We ain't dressed properly. I ain't seen nothing where in God's word says we have to be properly. Because if an individual comes into the house of God, we have to always remember this. We don't know their heart. We don't know if they're saved or not. If they're not saved, they don't know no better. But if they end up coming to God's house time after time after time, and if they ever get saved, or if they're saved and they just, you know, they just ain't never been taught. They just haven't seen it. Where they can come to God's house and see the ladies being dressed up as ladies, and where the men is being dressed as men are dressed and properly. And they don't come in with all kinds of jewelry. And they don't come in with all kinds of these pierced ears and pierced nose and pierced tongues and all of that. All of that is of the devil. But see, that's all they know. That's the only thing they know is the devil. They don't know anything about God. Did you know anything about God before you got saved? I didn't. I didn't know anything about the virgin birth. I didn't know why he went to Calvary and why he died for me. I didn't know all of that. I didn't know that I had to just come and join a local church. I didn't know I had to be faithful to God's house. I didn't know that I had to be faithful in what he wanted me to do, go out here and witness and tell all the people. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know anything about tithing. I didn't know anything about none of that. But that's where, over in Peter, it talks about the sincere milk of the word. When I was like that, right after I got saved, I had to start learning. And I had other Christians that was helping me and trying to wean me off of the sincere milk. They were trying to wean me off of the milk to where I could start getting in there and digging a little deeper, getting a hold of some of the meat of the word. And I come to find out the more I got in this right here. And the more I read, then that's when I prayed a little more. When I prayed, then that's when God started speaking to me. That's when God started dealing with me about certain things. And one time I was at the house and I was reading my Bible. I was reading it every night. I was reading 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe sometimes 10 chapters a night before I'd go to bed. But then some nights I would read maybe 1 or 2. And on the nights I'd just read 1 or 2 chapters. I didn't understand what I was reading, so I went back and I read it again. Still didn't understand it. I'd go back and I'd read it again. Still didn't understand it. I'd go back and read it again. Still didn't understand it. I'd go back and I'd reread it again. At that time, I didn't even know anything about that because I had never experienced that. That was one thing that was, it was over in the book, that's where I was in the book of John. I was reading, I done read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I was over in the book of John and everything, and I still read. I said, well, I'm going to just forget about doing a couple chapters right there. I'm going to start on back reading some more. Kept on reading, got over there in the 13th chapter book of John, talking about the Spirit of God. Got over in John chapter 14, and then it hit me. See, God's always got a verse in the Bible. And you wonder why you had never seen it before. One verse when I read that one verse, it was like I just put on brakes and I slid and I come to a complete stop on that one verse. I could not read down but blow that one verse. Why? What I was doing, I was studying the Bible. I was trying to read and study it and get as much as I could out of it. But then when the Holy Spirit come on the scene and when he got a hold of my feet and when I just put on the brakes right there, it's a comfort. My comforter. He says, that's personal to you. He didn't say, I will comfort her. He says, my comforter. So when I'm reading it to myself. Speaking of my comforter. Comforts me. My comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. What shall teach me all things? Teach me what the Bible says. Teach me what each and every verse says. And I come to realize that right there. That when I put on them brakes right there, one verse. That if there's another verse in the scripture that he wants me to look at. And he wants me to ponder over. When I get to it, I'll hit my brakes one more time. And I'll look at it. And I'll reread it. Then I'll search it out and I'll get everything. When you do that, that's comes up the latter part. the same verse. I reckon besides John 3:16, which I reckon everybody claims that verse, but if it wasn't for John 3:16, and what each one of them words right there means, you wouldn't know me today. I wouldn't know you. But it said the latter part in that verse. He, which is the Holy Ghost, shall bring all things back to your remembrance. So, the two chapters that I read, or the 10 chapters that I read, hey, I may not remember the verse, but he'll take me back to the book. And he'll take me back to some words that I said, that he spoke to me about, and he said in the Word of God, that I can take and I can look up in Word, and I can find it. And I can learn a little more about him. You know, one thing, and I'm going to close with this. With me, when I was in school, when I was in high school, or when I was even in school period, we had a neighbor that lived up the road from us. Well, at that time you had to walk up the road or walk down the road or wherever you caught the bus at. When I started to school, I didn't want to go. I cried going up to the bus stop. And after my mother left me there at the bus stop, mother, brother, one was next to me. He was right there with me. And I could hear him say, says, "I take you, Donnie." How was it? I don't know.
I'll take care of you, Donnie.
Yeah. But, you know, I just didn't want to go to school. I just didn't want to go because it was something about the books. I just couldn't get into all of that. I wanted to stay home and play. But I had our neighbors up there. Some mornings I wouldn't even get on the bus. If I did get on the bus, then she'd call my mother. Then my mother come up and get me. I reckon I was like that all the way through school. I reckon I must have been.
Most of the time you got home, then you get off at the next stop.
Well, I forgot about that part. But, but you know, but really, I never did like study. I never did like reading. I mean, when I was in school, I just could not read. I didn't understand that I was reading. And plus two, I want a good reader. So I never did take no oral reports. I would not get up and stand up before the class and read. Just read something simple out of the book. Because I'd be so scared to death. And here it is, the principal. I mean, not the principal, but the teacher say, I ain't going to get up now. I still sat there like a knot on a log. Still right there. She says, Donnie, if you don't get up and read it, you know what I'm going to have to do. I said, I know. Go on, put down incomplete or F or whatever you got to do. But I can't do it. And, you know, they didn't mind, you know. Really back then, if a whole lot of times, if you didn't do what the teacher said, you know, it won't just giving you an F or something like that. I mean, they said, well, you come on up front. And you knew when you come up front, as soon as you got it coming up out, she'd pull out the drawer. And you know what was coming out of the drawer. It's either one or two things, the ruler or the paddle. Well, I mean, I just soon had the paddle as the ruler because that ruler hurt. It hurt your hand. But you know, I did not understand none of that until after I got saved. That I was depending on myself to read it. And I was not trying to read it to where if I couldn't read it and pronounce the words the right way, that I didn't think nobody was going to be there to help me. Have you ever felt like that in some, you know, on a job or something like that? Sometimes you feel like that you, it's something that you've got to do, but you really don't want to do it because you don't know if somebody's going to help you how to get over that threshold. If you have never experienced it, it's something to go through. It really is. But what we must realize is that we always have got people to help us. To help us to achieve what we are trying to do. But I'm going to take myself, for instance. I feel like I'm so inadequate. I feel like that I cannot be taught. That I cannot be taught to a way to where I can, yes, I can do that. Because at certain times in my life, things come up I didn't have no control over. But yet, it affected my life. It's like my father, when my father got killed, lost his life, January the 1st. 1958. I couldn't understand that. Then especially when you got a preacher, they tell you that everything's going to be okay. Says we never know. Says he could have got saved at the last very moment. But see, I didn't understand all of that. And that stayed with me for years. But when God saved me, I said, God, I know that you want me to do something. I don't know what it is.
God, I can't go to school. I just don't have the money to where I can just quit my job and just travel back and forth to school to Lynchburg or somewhere that's closer by or something, or move somewhere. I said, God, I just can't do that. We don't have to do it. A whole lot of times, the things that we do is because we want to do it. But we don't have to do it. God paid the price. God paid the price at Calvary. That I could be His child. That one day that I could be an ambassador for Him. That one day that I could learn a little more about His Word to where I wouldn't get to the point that I was scared to go out and visit someone and tell them about Jesus. And that is something that an individual, unless that they've got to go on and do it and say, Lord, You're with me. Now what I want You to do. This is where I put it to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is what You want me to do. My pastor had asked me to go to the hospital today. I don't know the individual. I don't even know what to say to him. Lord, You knew that before I even come to You. But I'm coming to You now. I need Your help. When I got to the hospital, I didn't know the individual. Didn't know anything about him at all. But the pastor asked me to go visit them, and I did. And it was just like me going and visiting my mother. It wasn't awkward or nothing like that. I just went and I visited. Why? Because see, the Lord went before me. And I think that's a whole lot of times in the case that we don't realize that when we ask the Lord to do something, and it seems like that at times like maybe the Lord just don't hear us. But it ain't where the Lord don't hear us. It's the lack of faith that we have in the Lord. We don't need to worry about the Lord and what the Lord can do. We need to worry about what we can do for the Lord. I don't understand nothing about anything that goes on today. I don't understand it. I don't understand why God puts up with it. But that's God. That's His business. We just have to pray for Him. I don't understand why we don't have no more people than what we got. We've had different people to come in and visit. We don't know why they don't want to come back and stay. Sometimes I may say, well, God, is it me? Is it me, Lord? If it is, let me know. Let me know what I'm doing wrong. And Lord, if I'm not doing anything wrong, but the people won't come back, it's because of the way you bring your messages. Well, I can't help that. Only thing that I can do, I just have to give people what's on my heart, what the Lord has put there. I know sometimes that I get fretted with myself up here. But I'm thankful that I got you. I'm thankful that I know that I got each one of you praying for me. And when I say that, I'm not saying it loosely either. I know that y'all are praying for me because I feel your prayers. With 9, 10, 11 people that we have, this comes to church here, this faithful, or 8 or 9, 10, this faithful in coming. I cannot imagine and meeting the obligation that we have to meet every month. It's only by God's grace. Only by God's grace and your faithfulness to Him. I know He loves you. I know that. And God hasn't forgot about you either. He hasn't forgot about faith. But least when we least expect it, He'll be there. He's going to show up. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, Lord, we just pray that you will just take what was said, Father. That you will take it in such a way, Father, that where you would want it put another way, Lord, that where it will touch the people's hearts. And Father, I know, Lord, that if it wasn't for you, that I'd be in hell today. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart about Faith Baptist Church, Lord. And Lord, I lift up each one of these individuals to you today. The God, that you will just touch them. Strengthen them, Father, physically and spiritually. Give them what they need today. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, tonight as we come back this afternoon, Father, that we'll come back in seeking you, Father, asking, Lord Jesus, you may touch our hearts. Bring the people in, Father. And Lord, and we know, Father, when you bring the people in, that we'll thank you. Because it's in Jesus' precious, holy, and righteous name I pray. Amen and amen.